Let's welcome everyone watching on the internet right now. Good morning. God bless you wherever you are around the world. Grab your Bibles. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. We are going to be finishing up a series today entitled Life Is. Now, I've been teaching over the last few weeks. You know, this is kind of a twofold series where it tells you our core values of Life Church, which are the Word, number one, number two, the Spirit of God, number three, relationships. And so Life Is, Life Church is these three core values, and everything we do somehow is strengthening or reinforcing these three core values, helping people in any of these areas. But also we believe this is what the spiritual life, the Christian life, is made up of. It's what makes you strong. The Word of God makes you strong. The relationship with the Holy Spirit makes us strong. We were meant to do this with the Holy Spirit, amen, not without it. But also relationships are very important to God, and that's where I want to kind of focus in on and hone in on today. Now, I'm not going to just highlight marriage. Sometimes when I say relationships, everyone thinks I'm just going to preach on marriage. We're going to do a series in the next few months where we'll touch marriage, and we're going to touch things with our families and our children and our friends and neighbors. But today, I generally, in a broad sense, want to talk to us about relating to other people. And I believe Christians are capable of being the best friends and the best quality relational people this world has ever seen. Now, I know immediately your brain starts thinking of people who call themselves Christians who have been lousy examples of this. And so we need to train and to teach and remind and inspire a new generation. Rather than cursing the past, let's change it, the future. Amen. Let's be what we didn't have modeled to us. Because I want to prove to you today, the way God has designed us and the way God has set us up, literally everything is pointing towards us being exceptional people when it comes to relationships. We should be able to lead the culture in having quality, genuine, meaningful friendships and relationships because of the God that's behind it and because of the strategy that He's put into place. And so I want to encourage you through the scripture today and hopefully inspire you about who you are and what you're capable of in being a quality relational person. Today in Genesis chapter 2, let's go to the beginnings. This is the book of beginnings. Sometimes it's great to see God's intention in something because it helps us with an overall foundation of the why behind the what, kind of where we started, the will and thought process of God. Here in chapter 2, we see God creating man. Again, He kind of tells the story. Genesis 1 is kind of the creation story. But then Genesis 2, it kind of gives us more detail, kind of what's going on in some of those creation moments. And here God has already made man. He's made the creation and He's made man. And in verse 18, He picks up a story about man now. God says this in verse 18, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed it up at that place of the flesh, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib." Everyone, I just want you to know, this is why men love ribs. This is why it's here. It's scriptural. We have a place right here that calls out for barbecue. It just does. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, I told you. So the man said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." And this is scriptural proof that laundry is under the curse of the fall. We were never meant to have to do laundry. Give me an amen, somebody. I'm telling you, it's sin. Sin brought laundry into our life. It's part of our punishment for the fall. We were meant to be naked and unashamed, but I'm going to leave it at that. Please don't tweet that right now. That's what Pastor Kevin, that's my takeaway. That was my takeaway from Pastor Kevin today. There's a whole lot more to the sermon than this. But here's what I want to kind of paint a picture and bring into your perspective this morning. God says it's not good for man to be alone. Now, he didn't say it wasn't good for man to be single. He said it was not good for man to be alone. God can anoint your singleness. Can I have an amen on that? Absolutely. But it was not enough for man just to be here with a bunch of animals, which tells me that we are not sufficiently provided for or at our height of who we were created to be if it's just me and my dog Fido. Sometimes we love to be in isolation, but we were not created for isolation. In God's wisdom, this is the first time in the Bible that the Bible says God said something wasn't good in his creation. And what he said wasn't good was the isolation of the man. And we cannot find in the animal world enough relationship to fulfill and help us to become who we need to be apart from other human interaction. So God made another human being. Now, in this instance, he made a woman because obviously they were going to become the parents of the rest of the world. But in a broader sense, God made Adam another human being to relate to. And he, in his wisdom, obviously a female mind and a male mind, he made them opposites so that they could oppose each other in a good way, see things from a different perspective and therefore complete one another. Are you understanding this? We need each other. We need people in our world. We need relationships. Isolation is dangerous. Being alone is dangerous. We are our own worst enemy when we are alone, especially when we're going through a battle and we're going through a journey in our life. We need other voices, other human beings, other people for us to serve. It's important that we have other human interaction that we can serve and we can express love to other human beings. You can love Fido. Fido's great. We love Fido. But you live, something unlocks in you when you love other human beings as well. Can I have an amen on that? And it's important that we experience love from other human beings. See, in one sense, this scripture seems odd because God is saying it's not good for man to be alone. Yet man also, in this moment, didn't just have the animals and Fido, but he also, nothing wrong with dogs, by the way. I'm not saying that Fido's a bad thing. I'm just saying that he's not enough. Fido's not enough. Adam had God too. Do you understand? He walked with God every day. He had the presence of God. He had the reality of God speaking with him on a consistent basis. And yet in this moment, even in that, God said, you need another human being to interact with, which tells me this. It's not enough for us to say just me and Jesus, and that's all I need in this world. We were designed to have interaction with other human beings. It's in that interaction that things are unlocked in us. It's in that interaction that there's healing that's provided, even in our hearts. It's in serving each other. It's in listening to one another. We need to relate and to be great at. We were meant, let me say it this way, we were meant for relationships. We were meant for relationships. And it was the wisdom of God that put this thing together. You know, God, if you look through the rest of kind of God's plan for our lives, God is a very relational God. You know, the whole reason God made man was to have relationship. And then God didn't just make one man. He made a family, a human race, so they could have relationship with him, but they could have relationship with each other. God is a communicator. God has feelings. God is a relational God, which is one of the reasons why I'm going to teach today that we, in our DNA, who we are, because we've been created by God, we have our Father, who's the Father of all spirits, is God, because God is the creator, God is the painter, God is the author, and God is highly relational. Inside each and every one of us is a relational individual. Even if we say, no, I like privacy, I like isolation, I like to be by myself. All of us like to be by ourselves at times. There's nothing wrong with re-energizing, being by ourselves at times. But we must be relational. We were born for relationships. We were born to make memories and to interact with other human beings. You know, God, even in the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sets the members in the body. The Holy Spirit is pushing us, is leading us, the body being the corporate church. The Holy Spirit is even intentionally setting people in community because he knows what's best for us. Do we understand what I'm saying here? That this is the wisdom of God. This is the will of God. Not that you live isolated off by yourself, but that you are placed in a community of other believers. God knows you, for you to become the fullness of who he's made you to become, you're going to need relationships. You're going to need community. You're going to need to be set in. And I love that. That's a work of the Spirit where he says, I am going to take you and I'm going to place you, because possibly by yourself alone, you wouldn't have put yourself in a community. But the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you. He's telling you, get plugged in. Get plugged in. I have a will for you. This is my highest opinion and plan for you. You must be set in the body. Even in God's design of how he's made you as a believer, do we understand that God did not make us to where any one of us has every gift, every talent, every type of characteristic that is needed? We're not self-sustaining complete. Even in the New Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit distributes different gifts to different people. And he makes us different parts of one body. None of us alone have it all together. None of us alone have all the giftings and all the powers. That's the wisdom of God, that you would need something that he has placed in me, and that I would need something that God has placed in you. He built us to need one another. Are you understanding this? This is design. This is God's. This is the God that we knows, that we trust and know his wisdom founded all creation. And so he knows how you will best thrive. You need other people, and other people need you. You know, that's a huge lie in your mind, maybe possibly right now. I'm going to lean into that for a second. Some of you right now believe a lie that says nobody needs me. That is wrong. That is a lie. And, you know, God has placed things in you the way he has orchestrated. He has set you in this body because there's people here that need stuff that's on the inside of you. You must trust that what God has placed in you is worthy, and what God has placed in you is needed. And stop speaking against the very thing that God's made in you. God has made you special. God has made you unique. You have ministry in you. You have mileage. You have history. You have some wisdom that you need to bring. You have personality that needs to be brought to the table. Please do not believe the lie that says you have nothing to bring to this world. That is a lie. You know, in our world, hopefully, we're intentionally building time and space to be with people. You know, you think to yourself, what is this world life really made up of? You know, eating, sleeping, working. But really, the things in life that make life sweet are the times that we get to spend with people that we love. You know, hopefully the pictures and the photographs of and the photo albums of our life, the best ones, the ones we love to look at the most, hopefully have people we love in those pictures. Memories that we've taken. When we look back year after year as a family, the things that we remember are our vacations. I don't take pictures of my living room, an empty living room, and say, wow, look at that living room. I take pictures of people in my family doing things together because that's life. And that's what I'm saying. Life is relationships. And yet, relationships sometimes get the least of our attention. Our bills get all the attention. All the stresses of work and our careers get all this attention. And then so many times the things that matter the most get the least amount of attention. But I'm here to tell you from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, you were made, life was created for relationships. And we need to put everything in perspective to say, look, I need to have healthy relationships. I need to look at my life and my calendar and my schedule and make time to have friendships and make time. And you say, Pastor Kevin, you don't know my schedule. Look, I don't know your schedule, but I know the creation of God. You need relationships. You will burn out. Your life will continue to devolve until you start making some space for the people that you love and that God needs to bring into your life to love you. It's a very important thing. It's just interesting. I started teaching this last night, and I felt in my spirit the depth of the need of relationships in the body of Christ, which is why I need to go and do a longer study and do a longer teaching series on it. But some of us are crying out in our heart for relationships, but we don't know how to make those relationships. And we want them, but we don't know how to get there. Or we've been wounded by other relationships, and now we have these walls up, and we're refusing to allow God to bring new relationships into our life. And we need some teaching and some Holy Spirit breakthrough, because church, we need to be relational with each other and with those that need Jesus. And so some of those wounds and some of those hurts and some of those things that have come up, those walls we've placed up, you understand everything the devil does is to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. So those things you think you're protecting yourself from are actually killing you. Do you understand what I just said? Those walls against new relationships, those walls of getting involved, you think they're protecting you, but they're actually killing you. Because everything the devil does, everything he does, is to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. The Holy Spirit is trying to bring you into community. The Holy Spirit is trying to bring you into a body. The Holy Spirit knows he designed you for relationships. Amen. I didn't say any of that yesterday, so that's for today. We're going to say that again. Let me talk to you real quick about the healthiness of having relationships. There's an interesting study. I got this week. I thought this was powerful, talking about your need for relationships. One of the most thorough research projects completed in relationships was that Alameda County study headed by a Harvard social scientist. The study tracked the lives of 7,000 people over 9 years. Researchers found that the most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die early than those with strong relational connections. That's powerful. You were designed for community. People who continued bad health habits, smoking, poor eating habits, obesity, or even alcohol use, but had strong social ties, lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits, but lived isolated lives. In other words, it is better to eat cookies with good friends than to eat vegetables alone. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Harvard researcher Robert Putnam notes that if you do not belong to any group, but decide to join one, you cut your risk of dying over the next year in half. That's powerful. And I'm telling you, we need to understand we were meant for relationships. Now, let me just qualify what I just said there. I'm not encouraging you to smoke, drink, eat pork rinds every day and cookies and all this other kind of stuff. It's important we have proper health habits. But what he's saying is this. You can be exercising all day long. You can be eating right. But something you might not realize you also need are people in your world. People to laugh with, people to cry with, people to go and make memories with. This is our life. And life is about people and connecting with people. Amen. You know, God and Jesus are highly relational. You know, Jesus is the manifestation, the presence of God. God put on flesh. And so we see our relational God who everything he built marriage, he built the family. He came into covenant with Israel. He was talking to them about being a leader, a shepherd, a father, a provider, a healer. I mean, you understand how relational our God is? I thank God he is not aloof. He is not up on some mountain in a shrine somewhere that isn't burdened with our problems. God is right in the middle of our situation. He's right in the middle of our business. God is highly relational God. He wants to be loved. He's jealous for our love. God is a highly relational God. This is again why I say we have more relational things in our Christian DNA than we might realize. Because we are from his seed. Are you understanding? Jesus, the image of God, God on with the flesh on. Look how relational Jesus was. Jesus didn't come to the earth and isolate himself and stand on a mountain and say, everyone just bow and worship and be like an arm's length. Jesus was in people's homes for dinner. Jesus was crying with people. Jesus was in their world when they fell on his knee with them saying, let me help you through that burden, that problem. Do you see? God is a highly relational God. Sinners wanted to be with him. Tax collectors wanted to be with him, who were notorious crooks and criminals of the day. People who were near to God, people that were far away from God, wanted to be around this highly relational person. I'm telling you, everybody, it's weird to me that the author of Christianity, the founder of all that we are, the DNA that we come from, they are so highly relational, and yet Christians have become so unrelational. That shouldn't be that way. Something is amiss. Are you understanding this? And even with the community we live in, we isolate ourselves from the lost. Yet Jesus was highly relational with the lost. There was this sense of you need a friend in your life. You need a voice of love, a voice of truth. And I'm going to commit myself to be that voice in your life. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm going to run into your world. And I'm going to be the most committed, loving example of the goodness of God that anyone's ever been to that person. I'm telling you, there's this thing in Christianity where somehow we've lost focus that we're the most relational, loving, faithful friends and people the world's ever seen. It breaks my heart when I hear things where people say, my friends in the world, my friends in the bar were more faithful than my friends in church. Now, we can either sit there and go, amen, that's true, or we could say, well, let's change this thing. Because it's not that the DNA of Christianity is that way. You understand? It's not because the quality of the foundation is that way. It's because somehow our perspectives got skewed, our priorities got skewed, or we didn't deal with our own hurts and issues the way God has talked to us about, or we've let other people be the excuse of the version of Christian I'm going to be, rather than Jesus being the example and the model that we are going to live this thing. Amen. Jesus was hurt by a lot of religious people, yet he stayed relational and faithful with the plan of loving and seeking and saving. Are you understanding? Amen. That was really good preaching. Whether you say so or not, I'm telling you, that was really good preaching. In relationships, it's like a two-sided coin. You know, someone said one time, a one-sided coin has no value. I don't know who said it, but I like it. It's true. There's two sides to a relationship coin. One is the type of friend we can be to somebody else. And we need to focus on that. What type of friend can I be to someone else? So many times we think to ourselves, well, who's been a friend to me? Well, how good of a friend have I been to people? Because the Bible tells me in a spiritual principle, I will reap what I sow. Amen. If I sow quality friendships, there is a biblical promise, I will reap quality friendships. Maybe not even from the people I'm trying to sow them to. That you missed that one. See, what happens is we think, well, I'll sow a quality friendship, and if they don't respond in quality friendship, then I'm going to stop sowing quality friendship to that person. But if God's assigned you to sow quality friendship into a person who never reaches back, he may bring your quality friendship from another place, but you don't sow quality friendship in someone's life to get quality friendship. A quality friend says, I'm committed to you. Even if you're a lousy friend, I'm still going to be a good one. Are you understanding that? And God may, they may never be what you thought they were going to be, but God will prove faithful and he will bring you what it is that you have been sowing for. Two-sided coin. Number one, what kind of friend can I be for someone else? It's not a burden. It's not a duty. But I was made for this. I want to be a quality friend in people's lives. I want to be a faithful, committed partner and friend, whether it's to my spouse or even to my kids, because you realize you can have a levels of relationship. Hopefully you're a quality friend to your spouse too, and to your children, but even beyond. What kind of friend? That's one side of the coin. What kind of friend am I? The other side of a relationship coin is this. We must let other people be relational to us. We must let other people be relational to us. Both of these sides of this coin bring the value to relationships in our lives. Let me illustrate this. There are some of us that we are diligent to serve other people, and we are diligent to go the extra mile and to try to love and forgive and take care of other people, but we are deficient, or we struggle in letting people reach to us, in letting people help us, in letting people offer to love on us. For some reason, we have this one-sided thing where it's like, no, I got to serve you, I've got to serve you, I got to serve you. And I'm telling you, one of the ways you build relationship is to let other people love you. Let other people pray for you. Let other people compliment you. Let other people get involved, even if it's in small ways. Some of our burdens are big, but some of these small things speak volumes in the middle. Someone wants to bake you a pie, a cherry pie, and bring it to you in the middle of a great crisis, and you think to yourself, no, I don't want to burden them. Don't bake me a cherry pie. First of all, let me tell you something. If someone wants to bake you a cherry pie, you take the cherry pie. That's just common sense to me. And you eat it with a friend, and you'll live longer. It's just the way it works. What a ridiculous thing to not take a cherry pie. That is just foolishness. But sometimes, like, no, don't. You know, someone offers to come over and help you tidy up the house, and you're like, no, don't trouble yourself. And then you wonder why you feel so disconnected, and like, you're given out, and you feel depleted. It's because you're not letting the other side of the coin into your life. And some people, they can't fix the whole big problem. They can't take away the cancer, you understand? But they can try to alleviate something, and it's a way, that little thing is a way for you to experience love from them. But by not letting them help you, by being too proud or being too focused on, I got to take care of everybody else. I got to be strong. I've got to be strong in this situation. You're also destroying your ability, first of all, for their ability to be a friend to you, but you're destroying the other half of relationship, which is letting relationship affect you. Are you understanding this? Now, recently, I've been blessed by this. Obviously, with our journey with Isaiah, there's been a lot of things I cannot do on my own. And our family is just overwhelmed with certain things. And so many of you have been sending prayers, which we read and we take strength from. You have sent food to the house. You've helped in so many ways. And, you know, it's weird being on this side, because sometimes as a pastor, you know, as much as I preach what I'm talking about, I'm the first one to say, no, we need to help you. But something has triggered in some of these allowing people to help us thing, which just makes me fall in love with everybody all over again. Does that make sense? Not that I wasn't in love with everybody anyway, but it was just a sense of when there's a one-sided relationship where it's like give, give, give. If you don't let people, even in small ways, give to you in some capacity, you're missing out on what relationship is. It's two ways. And some of you, I'm here to challenge you today. You must start saying yes to some of the simple ways people want to help you and people want to love you. It's not a burden on them. It's the way the body of Christ was set up to do this. You need to start saying yes to things and letting people help. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't, the devil's going to lie to you. People have been asking to get involved and asking to help in your journey. And you're like, no, I just want to, you know, I don't want to be a burden. I want to be a burden. And then over here, there's going to be a moment where you're going to feel alone and isolated and like nobody's been there to help you. And it's because you've rejected all the simple helps along the way, all the relationship along the way. You don't realize that you've created this isolation. And then it becomes a real problem at the end. Now you can say, there's a lot of people maybe that take advantage of that side and they always want people to help them. They're always like, bring me a pie and mow my lawn and clean my house. Yes, serve me, serve me. Well, they're not doing the other side of the coin, which is considering what kind of quality friend are you being to other people. If you are always the taker and not the giver, you're also not a quality friend. And so today, Christians, we can be equally quality on both sides of that coin. Let me just give you a few reasons why I believe Christianity is set up to be the best people this world has ever seen in regards to relationship. First one is the fact that we have the Word of God. I know that sounds simplistic by design, but the Word is interesting, and it's something that we have that other people do not have. First of all, yes, there are quality people and quality relational people who don't know Jesus, but we have some tools that if, first of all, we can be every bit as quality as them and some because of some of these tools I'm about to bring into your perspective. We have the Word of God. Now, the Word of God helps us to be quality individuals and quality friends because it speaks truth. It's a straight line and teaches us when we get out of alignment. So as a friend, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a friend at work or a coworker or something like that, if my attitude gets out of alignment, if I start to become selfish or I start to become bitter and resentful, the Word of God is that straight line that begins to tell me something's off. Now, if I don't have a straight standard of what truth is and what accuracy is, then I don't know when I'm bending the wrong way. Is that understanding? And so if you are in a relationship or a friendship and bitterness is creeping in and offense is creeping in, if you don't have that straight line teaching you about love and teaching you about forgiveness, then you can allow bitterness and offense and resentment to take you sideways and you don't have anything speaking the truth to you, rebuking you, correcting you, training you in righteousness to bring you back into alignment. But our Bibles, when we have that word in our heart, is always speaking to us about our attitudes and about awareness of our emotions and awareness about our actions and awareness about what to do when we've done something wrong. We have an outside perspective keeping us focused on living holy, good, loving lives. There is a Word of God that is speaking to us and directing us in our relationships that other people, they don't have that same type of boundaries or guardrails like we have in the Word of God. The fact that we have the Word of God teaches us about what's going on the inside of us and what's going on the inside of them. Everyone, we have so much more perspective because we have the truth of the Word. The Word talks to us about the spirit being, talks to us about the soulish being and the flesh being. So also, because of the Word, we also know truth, not just where we get out of alignment, but if a friend of ours or someone we're relating to becomes offended or hurt or begins to react at us in a negative way, we can, based on the Scripture, also realize there could be more to the story than just this outward working of fruit that we see in their lives. Because the Word of God helps us to see deeper into deeper levels. what's going on in this person's spirit right now. If they don't know Jesus, well, we have a very loud indication that their fallen spirit is in torment, their fallen spirit is in darkness, and so we understand some perspective of what's going on there. If they're reacting in emotion or their mind, their will, their emotions are getting out of alignment, we might be able to discern because of the word. We have insight because of the word that there may be some things that they have not forgiven somebody, and they're reacting to you because they haven't forgiven somebody else, or because they might feel ashamed or they might feel embarrassed about something. But you see, the word begins to teach me that not everything they're reacting with is actually my fault. Are you understanding? Am I going too fast for you? The Word of God gives us some clarity on human behavior and why certain people are linked to certain habits and certain traditions and certain sin patterns, but then we can see people differently than just, man, they're a jerk. And the Word also tells me that I have ability to pray for them. I have the ability to speak truth into their lie, into their situation. I have the ability to also help them out of that crisis and that problem so that they're not left there abandoned in whatever it is that's really bothering them. And so having perspective, because the Word gives us perspective on human nature and human, you know, journey, having perspective, let me tell you this, having perspective may not change them, but it gives you peace while you interact with them. You know, having some understanding just helps you kind of take a step back and realize that I may not be the root of everybody's problem, which also helps me understand when they act out and they act rude or they act difficult or challenging, that I don't have to take that on personally. Like, they hate me and I'm being rejected by them. The Word of God tells me how a human being's made up and what they could be dealing with, all kinds of demons on the inside. All kinds of emotions, all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of things. And it just helps me take a step back and say, how can I help you? And how can I relate to you in the middle of your journey? The Word of God gives us tremendous perspective on how to be a friend to people. And people who don't have the Word don't have all that understanding and perspective. Number two reason why I think we can be incredible friends, just amazing friends, is the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, you begin to become like who you hang out with. Are you understand that? You begin to become like the Holy Spirit as you hang out with the Spirit of God. You know, that's what we call the fruits of the Spirit, you know, where you're growing certain fruits in your life. Now I have a whole teaching on you can also pick fruit. You don't just have to grow it all, but that's for a different day. We do grow and become progressively more and more like the Spirit of God. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the characteristics, the personality traits of the Spirit would be things like love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and long-suffering. This sounds like a person I want to get to know, right? Well, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and the more we spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more we should become like Him. Full of joy, full of goodness, full of kindness. That's why I don't understand why Spirit-filled people can live in bitterness, live in offense, and start rejecting people because they're not hanging out with the Spirit. Let me just tell you that. They may speak in tongues, but it's been a long time since they've really hung out with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit minister to them and begin to remind them of grace. Anyways, it's just a whole other story for a whole other day. But because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we become like Him. And as I think about who we can be as believers to this world, Spirit-filled people, we carry the Holy Spirit with us into their world, whatever they're going through. And when Jesus talked to us about the Holy Spirit, He said, I'm going to send you a helper. The Amplified defines that helper as comforter, standby, advocate. I love those words. But do you understand? That's who we're becoming. We're becoming like Him, a helper to the world around us, to the people that God's put in our lives. Like the Holy Spirit, who has the wisdom of God, who is the power of God. Do you understand? That's who you are in someone else's life. You become that representation. You become that breath of life. You become all that the Holy Spirit would be to us. We bring that because He's making that us. We bring that into the lives of the people around us, where we can come alongside somebody else and, like the helper, the Holy Spirit, say, how can I help you become what God has created you to become? How can I help you win? How can I be an advocate in your life towards the greatness that God has put on the inside of you? How can I stand by your side in your time of need, and I will not abandon you because you're going through a difficult time? I am committed to you because that's the person that I am. That's who the Holy Spirit is creating me to be. Are you understanding? See, Spirit-filled, Spirit-developed people would be like the Holy Spirit. You know, some people in our misunderstanding, you know, they think that being like the Holy Spirit is just rebuking everybody of sin. Like, I'm here to be your conscience. I'm here to convict you of sin. That's right, I'm like the Holy Spirit, and you're wrong in this, and you're wrong in that. And do you understand? That's a misinterpretation of even who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, when a believer stumbles and a believer falls, he's not sitting there with a finger in their face. He's sitting there, standing there with a hand outstretched. Are you understanding that? That's where we, many times as Christians, have somehow thought we were the police of the world rather than the Holy Spirit in this world. How can I help change you? How can I help lead you to Jesus? How can I help you overcome that hurdle that you keep trepping in? Rather than just pointing out the failure, I'm your help. I'm a standby. I'm an advocate. I'm here saying, you can do this. Let's get up again. Let's run again. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does for me, and I'm a Spirit-filled person, and let me be that for you. Amen. Let me be faithful to you. Let me stand by your side and not quit on you when you need me the most. Let me speak words of life. Let me remind you of things Jesus said about a promise that'll bring you through this time of crisis. See, the Holy Spirit does that for us, right? He brings rhema word to us. We can bring words of life to people who are going through seasons of death. Are you understanding what I'm saying? As Spirit-filled people, we have something in us that's creating our character and our personality to be tremendous potential friendships in our friendships. Praise God, the Holy Spirit is an amazing friend. How can I help you overcome? How can I help you win? Now, one of the things the Holy Spirit's really key, though, is the Holy Spirit also doesn't force his will upon us. Again, this is where sometimes we as Christians have not known how to be related to other people. We think it's our duty not just to tell people how to win or how to overcome or truth, which we should speak truth in love, by the way. We think it's our job to force people to make the right decisions. And so we use our attitudes, and we can be kind of snub or proud and kind of make people feel like we're looking down on them until you get your act together. Don't talk to me again. I already told you what to do, and you haven't done what I said last time, so I'm not going to talk to you again. Because that's what real Christians would do. No, you understand what I'm saying? That's weird. The Holy Spirit speaks the truth. The Holy Spirit reminds. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. The Holy Spirit, you know, brings to light what Jesus has said about this situation. But at the same time, he doesn't force or manipulate people to make the right decision. And sometimes you have to watch people you love and let them continue. They're still making the wrong decision, but even in their making those wrong decisions, you're still committed to being there for them no matter what decision they make. Doesn't mean you approve of the decision. Doesn't mean, and just because they continue to do it and continue to be related to them somehow in friendship, doesn't mean that somehow you're saying that what they're doing is correct. Sometimes people, we have this thing like, well, if I stay friends with them or if I stay involved in their life and they continue down this lifestyle, does that mean I'm somehow acknowledging or accepting or saying that that's okay? No, not at all. But you know, even when you do that and you make choices to hold on to things you shouldn't hold on to or decide to live in a way you're not supposed to live, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. He's always there till your last breath trying to help you and advocate, be there for you, a counselor, a standby, always committed to you. That's who we have as our example. That's the seed. That's the stock by which we come from. Are you understanding this? Good. Even if you didn't, I'd continue to say it anyway. Something else I think makes us quality believers, quality Christians, is this. The idea that we understand forgiveness. We understand forgiveness. We've been forgiven. The Bible says that he who's been forgiven much loves much. We've been forgiven a lot. Now, I do know there are some teachings in the Bible that talk about forgiveness to where you need to forgive so you can be forgiven, or you need to forgive so that your prayers would not be hindered. But I want us to go up another level. Now, I know Jesus taught those things, and I know they're valuable, and there's reasons behind those words. But sometimes I think it's important that we remember to forgive not just to be forgiven or to get a prayer answered, but because we've experienced grace of which we did not deserve in the first place. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'll forgive you because I need a new job. And I'm praying for a new job. So fine, you're forgiven. I don't want you in the way of my new job. You're forgiven. Or because I don't want something between me and God. And if I'm going to be forgiven, I got to forgive you. So I forgive you so that I can, you know, with God. And it's like we're missing something in this gospel message here. Sometimes we just need to remember the reason I forgive you, the reason I release you is because I've been given grace. I've experienced grace of which I did not deserve ever. I did not deserve it. And so I'm giving you that which I've freely received, I give to you. We need to remember that. And we're a people that understand forgiveness, which makes us huge friends because forgiveness is a huge part of relationships. People are going to hurt people. People are going to offend you. People are going to do the wrong thing. People are going to act rude, and they're going to act bitter, and they're going to act weird, and they're going to walk out on you, and they're going to take advantage of us. And forgiveness is huge, but it's our language. It's who we are. We're able. And now that's something else the Bible helps us with. Remember I said the Bible's a huge part? The Bible also shows us our capacity. And so when we say, I can't forgive that person, too late, the Bible already says you can. And God would never ask you to do something that you weren't capable of doing. And you might say, Pastor Kevin, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know the depth of their hurt, the depth of the offense. You're absolutely right. But I'm not the one telling you to forgive. The Bible, the Word of God is telling you to forgive. And the author of that book is your Creator. He was there when that person hurt you. He knows the depth of your wound. He knows the depth of your pain. He is not asking you to do something that's going to hurt you. He's asking you to do something that will release you and something that will set you free and something that will open your heart back up so that you can have future relationships. Because that unforgiveness, again, will build walls that will keep other people out of your world, and what you thought was protecting you is killing you. Are you understanding this? God is not being insensitive. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive to the pain you've been through. But he also knows what capacity you have. And you do have the capacity to forgive. You must forgive. And we understand forgiveness. We are people who understand forgiveness. Last thing I'll share real quick that I think makes us great friends is the fact that we have a servanthood DNA. Jesus came in Matthew chapter, I'll read it to you, just a verse real quick. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, the Son of Man, Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to be served, I came to serve. And the fact that we have a servant heart leader, servant-hearted leader, and the culture of who we are as believers is to prefer others and let them take first preference. And how can I help your life get better? See, that's not normal in most cultures. How can I help you, my neighbor, win? How can I help you achieve your goals? But again, isn't that what the Holy Spirit is for us? Helping us become the vision of God for our lives? What a servant the Holy Spirit is. Amen. But that's who we are. That's our core. Everybody, the world may not understand servant leadership, but we should. Because that's who Jesus is. That's what he modeled. That he's about to die. He's about to go on a cross. And that night that he was about to be sacrificed for us, Bible says that he went and he took a towel, wrapped it around himself, got on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples. He was serving them, helping them become, helping them understand, helping them know how much he loved them and give them a model and example. Servanthood is in our core. Helping other people win, helping other people succeed, letting other people get some honor and celebrate that honor. You know, that's not normal in this world. Can we champion and applaud somebody else's victory? Can we say, I'll be the one in the background and I'll help you in the foreground? That's part of our culture. That's why being a Christian can be, man, we should be the best. I'm telling you, to know us should be to love us. That one day, I have a dream that someday people would say, give me a spirit-filled leader, give me a spirit-filled person. I have a similar dream that someday people would say, I wish I had a friend like a Christian friend. I wish I had people in my life because I've seen them, how they love each other. I've seen how they've served this world. I've seen them around me. They're amazing individuals. I want Christians in my world. Even if I'm not one, I want them because of the type of people that they are. That's a dream, and I believe it can come to pass. Why don't you go ahead and stand up as we close today? You know, we have the Word, we have the Spirit, and we have these other relationships that God's given us that are so wonderful. I want to encourage you in something. This is another reason, I guess I'm kind of sneaking an extra one in, why I believe we can be quality friends. And that's this, because we don't have to live on empty. We can feast on the word in the middle of our life in troubles. We have access to the real presence and the real spirit of God if we choose to draw upon him in the middle of our troubles. And we there are, whether you see it or not, and I pray God help you see them, there are Christian people around you that are trying to help you if you'll let them help you. And as you say yes, you'll find more and more willing. You know, in the world out there, when they're serving people and they're trying to help other people, even if it's in really great works, you know, Red Cross and food pantries and all this stuff, you can really get depleted because you're giving, 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 giving. And they don't have the word of God that they can go to and feast and fill themselves back up on any given day basis. They don't have the word of God. You understand that? They don't have the word of God speaking words of life to them, being food to the inside. They don't have that. So they just give and give and give, and they don't have that access to feast on the word and remember the promises and remember the love of God and remember the hope and all that stuff. The word of God is not just words. It's the bread of life. So we can give, but we don't ever have to get empty. We can feast on the word. We can pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. And if we're feeling dry and we're feeling a little overwhelmed, we can go into a place of praise and worship and get all filled up again. But what happens is sometimes we don't access that and we're like, man, I've been serving and I've been giving and I've been loving and I'm getting nothing. Well, are we letting the Word and the Spirit minister to us? Just like letting other people minister to you, we have to let the Holy Spirit and the Word minister to us too. You can serve Jesus, serve Jesus, serve Jesus, but if you don't let Him serve you, you're going to die on the inside. And we have this wonderful community that we can run to on a weekly basis, get in some Bible studies, get in some small groups, get in some classes, get in some coffee out there and say, hey, let's go get and just encourage each other in the Lord. We have access to so much to fill us up so that we don't get empty. Amen. And I think that can also make us great friends as well. Heavenly Father, right now, I just come to you and thank you for this time together as we've talked about relationships. We've talked about being quality in our relationships. I pray today that you begin to show us how can we be a better friend? What can we change or improve as a friend, a spouse, a parent? How can we be more faithful, more encouraging, more of an advocate, a counselor, a standby, a help to the people that you've put in our world? Show us, as much as we can point fingers at other people saying they haven't been quality friends, Lord, help us right now to see ourselves. What kind of quality friends have we been? Speak, Holy Spirit, to us now. Help us to see where we can change. Help us to see who we can even apologize to today. And give us the strength to do it. Finally, Lord, I pray you help us see those people that you've sent into our lives to help us. And how, Lord, you could give us the ability to say yes to some of their help. As hard as that may be, as hard as it may be to admit that we need the help, or even if we don't think we need it more than we think. Lord, help us to see those people around us that you're sending our way. Help us to stop isolating ourselves and cutting ourselves off from community, the house, the body of Christ. I thank you that Life Church is going to be great at relationships. Lord, I pray for a hope and a future of the Christians of this world, that, Lord, we do a much better job in the next however much time we have left in being quality relational people than we've done in the past. Lord, we want to set a new standard. The DNA is good. The God behind us is good. The Word is good. Lord, help us to unlearn some of those unhealthy systems and patterns and help us to do this thing the right way. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to ask the prayer teams to come to the front. If you don't know the Lord, the first relationship to get right is between you and the Lord. He, again, isn't here pointing a finger in your face. He's extending a hand to help you. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today I ask you, have you ever called on the name of the Lord Jesus to save you? It's different than I've attended church most of my life. Have you ever called on the name of the Lord Jesus to save you? Maybe you say, Pastor Kevin, I used to have a great relationship with the Lord, but I've walked away and it's been a long time. But man, I'd sure like to get things right. Well, great. Let's do it today. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I want to pray for you right at your seat. But if today you know you're not right with the Lord for any reason or another, I want you to pray a prayer with me. If everyone bow your heads, close your eyes for the next 30 seconds. I want to give people some private moments here. If you say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. I'm going to pray this prayer today and I want to give my life to Jesus, either for the first time or I'm going to re-give my life to Jesus. If that's you, with no one looking around, I'm going to ask you to at least be brave enough to place your hand up wherever you are as an acknowledgement you're going to pray this prayer with me today. There's a hand right there in the center. Great. And there's another hand towards the front. Awesome. Anybody else? I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. There's a hand in the back. Wonderful. Anybody else? There's a hand in the front. Wonderful. Anybody else? Another hand. Wonderful. I want to give my life. There's another hand and another hand. Praise the Lord. And another. Hallelujah. It's all about relationship. This is the first one to get right. It puts all the others in place. I want to give my life to the Lord today or re-give my life to the Lord today. Anybody else? Place your hand up wherever you are. Awesome, awesome. And there's another one. Praise the Lord. And someone holding up the friend of another hand. I love that. Praise God. All right, let's all pray together, would you please? Let's all pray together. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize that I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate that? That was just great. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I am going to officially dismiss, and as I do, the altars are open if you need prayer for healing or freedom or anything like that. Those of you that raised your hand to give your life to the Lord or re-give your life to the Lord, on your way out, right behind our video cameras, there's some Bibles and volunteers there that would love to help you with your first steps with your walk with Jesus. I want to remind you tonight, 6 o'clock, we have Encounter. It's going to be great. If you want to give your, if you gave your life to the Lord today and you want to get baptized tonight, show up 5:15 right here. We'll baptize you tonight. Have a great time of celebration. 11 o'clock, we're going to head over there for the Discover Life Church class. Let me bless you and dismiss you. Father, I bless Life Church as they go. I pray as they go, you go with them, helping them build and develop quality relationships, starting at home and working its way out through everywhere they go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.